you remember the story, God gave them specific instructions of what they were to do. They were to take the ark, and they were to carry it. And they were to take it to the next place, carry it. Well, out of all their excitement, guess what? They planned this thing out, didn't they? They planned this thing out. They said, listen, we're going to do this better than what God had planned. We're going to help him out. God thought this was going to be cool, but we're going to give him the best experience. Right? Isn't that how we do sometimes? We come to church and we're just satisfied with an experience because an encounter might be too difficult. Or it might look different than we thought it was going to look. I came into worship tonight. You know, I come in, I know that it's my night to preach, right? I don't care about all that. So, you know, I'm like coming in here and I'm saying, okay, God, you're doing something a little different right now. Don't you hate it? Well, maybe y'all don't understand that, but I hate it whenever, you know, you're fixing to have to be the one to get up and everything that you think you got planned, God just... And then you're stuck there saying, okay, God, let me see if I can find another note. You want to do this one? And then Pastor Marty comes over and hands you the mic and says, hey, you know, just whenever you feel like you're ready, man, you just go after it. You know what I did? Oh, Lord. I don't believe it's time. I don't know what we're going to do right now. We're going to have a lot of silence. Lord, speak. Lord, speak. Please speak. Lord, cause your angels to sing or something. Just do something. Because I ain't ready. And then the prophet stands up and says, I hear the Lord say. I was like, yes, Jesus, thank you. Or I could be spiritual about it and say, I knew God had another word. I'm glad y'all listening to God. Man, I tell you what, it's scary sometimes. But if you want to have an experience, we can have a good experience tonight. We can do some more worship. We can jump around. We can get excited. We can sweat a little bit. We can have all kinds of fun. We can walk out of here and say, man, that was the best night in the whole world. But we had an encounter. We hadn't done anything. Nothing. And David and these guys here, they said, they planned all this stuff out and says, listen, when the ark gets there, we're going to lay it up on and we're going to put it on. I'm going to find the best ox cart we could ever find. And we're going to put it on that. I mean, the ark is going to be riding in style, man. It's going to be cool. And so they get this ox cart and they put the ark on it and they have everything in order, man. They're singing and dancing. They're parading and they got all this stuff. And all of a sudden, the cart shifts a little bit and Uzzah puts his hand up. Why? Because, I mean, the thing's about to fall over. So, naturally, we're going to help God out. We don't want God falling off the cart, so we're going to help him out. And all of a sudden, Uzzah died right there in front of everybody. All those people that were praying up front, here comes the ark. Here comes the ark. Right? All those guys... Everybody went silent and says, what just happened? I believe David was part of the lead worshiper leading everybody up. He comes running around. He says, what's going on? Well, the cart stumbled. Uzzah went to reach out, and now he's dead. Nobody touched the ark. I got to go find a place for this thing to hang out while we figure this out. So he goes knocking on Obed-Edom's door. Hello. Hey, man. I know you've always wanted to do something for the kingdom of God. We got a job for you. Yeah, what is it? What is it? David, you know, whatever you say. Listen, we have the ark of God. And we want to bring it into your house for safekeeping right now. But listen, don't let your kids around it. Don't touch it. Don't you touch it. We just kind of had somebody die for touching it. So I don't want you to touch it. Don't let your kids play near the ark. Leave it alone. I mean, if you were Obed-Edom, you're thinking somebody just died. I don't want that in my house. I'm telling you, encounters are weird. Who would have thought, you know, God has this thing where he's going to let somebody touch the ark? It was because we were trying to manhandle the presence of God. We try to get into that place where, well, we're going to help God out. We're going to manhandle this thing. We're going to make it look better, God. I'm going to pimp your church. We're going to make it better than it, any service you've ever had. We're going to do what it is, takes to make this. Did you preach that the other day? Okay. Oh, you been. We try to make God rest upon our organizations and our services and our songs and all the things that we do and all the promotions we have and all the events that we try to make and all these. We try to make it look glamorous, and we try to make God be so glamorous to everybody else. God doesn't need our help looking glamorous. He is supernatural. He is extraordinary. He confuses the wise. And he blows away those that are trying to figure him out. He don't need any help. He's weird all by himself. He can show up and everybody is curious what's going on with this guy. He walked through town. People hated him. People didn't know who he was. And there was other people that followed him everywhere he went. It amazes me. We've been talking about some of the encounters of the Old Testament, but what about the encounters of the New Testament? What about the people that God touched? What about the woman with the issue of blood? She had an encounter with God, and all of a sudden she busted her way through the crowd. She got on her hands and knees, and she crawled just at the time when she knew he was going to be walking by. She lunged forward, and the Bible says she touched the hem of his garment. She didn't get to say, "Hey, Jesus, look who it is." She didn't get to yank on anything. She just touched the hem, the little fringes, the little tassels of the garment. That's all she got to touch. And immediately, Jesus walking by and he says, power left me. Somebody touched me. The disciple says, "Oh yeah, Jesus, there's a lot of people touching you." He goes, "Nah, this is a different touch. This was somebody that wasn't here for just an experience. They wasn't here just to hang out with me. They wasn't here just to see what I was up to. They wasn't here just checking me out. There was somebody that came prepared. Somebody that wanted an encounter. Somebody that says, if I can just touch the hem of his garment." He said, there's something different about this touch. This touch, power was withdrawn from me. Power was withdrawn from me. Jesus turned around, stopped. Disciples looking around, who could that be? And all of a sudden, this woman stood up out of the crowd. You could tell she had an encounter with God because all of a sudden everything around her had changed. I believe her countenance had changed. I believe her demeanor had changed. I believe her confidence had come up. I believe instead of going down low and trying to hide out, all of a sudden she was standing up a posture tall and saying, and when he says, "Who touched me?" she was bold enough to say, "That was me." And when Jesus saw her say, "That was me," what did he tell her? "Woman, you've been made whole." Time after time, we don't have time tonight, but you can go through and you can read story after story. I love reading through the New Testament. These miracles blow my mind. I love the fact that Jesus was in the temple one day and he saw a guy on the front row with a withered hand. He says, "Oh, okay, cool, God. You got somebody in the temple where they don't want any of this happening on the Sabbath day, and you got a withered hand. I feel like healing the guy." So what did Jesus do? He stood up and he says, "You say that on Sabbath day I can't do this kind of stuff. But this guy, he came in here. Why should he leave the same way he came in?" Come on. Then he brought him to the front. He says, "I speak to that withered hand. It shall be withered no more. It shall be whole. It shall be healed. I declare it to be whole." And right there in front of everybody in the temple, the thing grew out, became whole, had full function. There was a lot of people excited about that. There was a lot of people not excited about that. That's what happens when an encounter shows up with God. Those that just want an experience, they're not real excited about an encounter because it lasts longer. It looks different. It has you know, different flow to it. You know, I really didn't want to come in and do all that worship tonight. I really want to do 3 fast songs, a couple more fast songs, 1 song of worship. I didn't need all that soaking stuff. I just need a couple of worship songs to get me in the mood. That's your attitude. You're just coming for an experience. But when we come in and we don't have an agenda and we just say, God, just I'm here. Do what you want to do. And then he begins to move this way, and then he twists over this way, and he goes in touch, and then he gives a word over here, and then he begins to do this thing over here. And then he says, let's get in this worship a little bit more. And then we have people come to the front, and they're just before the Lord, and they're crying. And then there's not just tears of sadness, it's tears of joy. That is a manifestation of the Spirit of God, tears of joy, right? And then so there's all these different manifestations of the presence of God beginning to happen because people are having encounters, not just an experience. They're having an encounter with God. It's a moment. That's a good thing about encounter. Every one of these things I listed, whether it was with Moses, whether it was with Gideon, whether it was with Elijah, whether it was with Joshua, none of them were prepared. They didn't go seeking after an encounter in the midst of them just hanging out, in the midst of them hiding in a cave or hiding in a wine press or walking in the wilderness and seeing this burning bush or whatever, or standing there saying, the mountains fall on me, but I don't know how to take these people over. God says, ha ha, I'm here. And I'm here to speak to you. I'm here to give you an encounter. I'm here to do something different in your life. Acts 1:8 says this. Well, I want to say this. We owe the world an encounter. When the Spirit comes upon God's people, we can do extraordinary things in His name. Acts 1:8 says this, but you shall receive power, the ability, the efficiency, and the might when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends and the very bounds of the earth. That's how it says in the Amplified Bible. The reason he says that, I believe there are 3 things, and I want to leave you with this tonight. There are 3 things that God wants to fulfill through that scripture. One is for us to express Christ's fullness. To express Christ's fullness. Not what we are full of, but Christ's fullness. Number 2, to unite people. When the presence of God shows up, it unites people. It doesn't divide them. It unites them. Number 3 is to equip and empower others. Let me read that scripture again. It says, you shall receive power, the ability, the efficiency, and the might when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends and the very bounds of the earth. We can't be satisfied anymore having our own little experience, doing our own little thing. We're in the kingdom of God. We are citizens of the kingdom. Right. Citizens of the kingdom. We're sons and daughters of God. Our territory, by default, has expanded.
Amen. Amen.
It's not. What I know this is San Antonio. What is this area? Leon Valley? Is this what is this? San Antonio? It's not just for San Antonio. It's not just for Deer Park. It's not just for Liberty, Crosby. It's not just for these certain areas. Yes, we have responsibility in the territory God's given us, but he says when you receive power, it's going to flow out of you. Let's put it in today's terminology. He says, when it says Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth, he's really saying San Antonio, Texas, United States of America, and beyond. We can't have this closed-minded feel that we think we just walk in these 4 doors and this is all we get to experience in the kingdom of God. No, there's so much more. This is where you get equipped and trained at. This is where God shows up and you have encounters. And after you have that encounter, you go say, I want somebody else to have an encounter. Not the person that had an encounter with me, but somebody else out there that needs to have an encounter with God. To change their world, to rock their life. When we do that, it expresses Christ's fullness. It unites people, and then we begin to equip and empower others. That's been my greatest joy. Your word was so on because I feel like that's what God's put in my heart is to continue doing that. And we've started that this year. We wiped everything clean at our church, and we just said, you know, God, whatever you want to do. And they were still in Kenya, so here we are. We're meeting in a hotel over in Houston. We got me and Jody and another couple of ours that's on our board, and them in Kenya. We're all on Skype, and I tell you, they had all kinds of trouble with Skype at that time. They were half the time they couldn't even get on the internet or anything. And for, I don't know, it was 4 hours, 2 hours, something like that, there was no disconnection, no disruption. It was like they were sitting in the room with us. God had a plan. And as we're sitting there, we're discussing. We're not saying, well, here's our plans, and this is what we need to do, and blah, blah, blah. All of a sudden, we're just sitting there saying, God, undoubtedly you want to do something different because what we've been doing ain't working. And so he began to lay out some things, and the word he kept giving us was blueprint, blueprint, blueprint. When you take a blueprint, if you've ever been around blueprints, you roll them out, and it's not just one, because one of them will show the finished product, but there's another one. One blueprint shows the foundation. One blueprint shows the electrical. One blueprint shows the plumbing. One blueprint shows where you're going to put a wall and a door and all this that shows the construction part. It shows all these different things, and I'm not a builder, so I have no idea what I'm talking about. I just know that the blueprints, as I've seen, have a lot of different layers, and I don't understand all those layers, but I do understand this. That's exactly what God was speaking to us. There's layers of things that He wants to do in our life. And I see that for here. I see that for the group of people here. I'm not just talking to House of Man. I'm talking to the people that would have ears to hear. Let them hear that there's things in your life that God is doing, a layer upon layer upon layer upon layer. And until you get the foundation right, nothing else is going to satisfy. You've got to have it. You've got to have the specialties of the different things. That's why I love the fivefold ministry coming together, because I might be the plumber tonight and the electrician might be tomorrow night. I don't know what God's going to do, but we all have a different gift. We all have a different way of releasing it. And as we release it, it helps you with your plans, with the blueprints that God has for your life to take you and say, we need to fix this. We need to do this. We need to build this. We need to establish this. And as we do that, God began to show us as we begin to do that, that our focus had to change and we had to begin to invest in those that were around us. I says, okay, God, how are we going to do that? And He says, I want you to start having some meetings on one Saturday a month, and I want you to spend 4 hours with these, or 3 hours with these guys, and I want you to pour into them. I want you to develop a culture within them, a kingdom culture. I want you to teach on kingdom culture. I want you to teach on character development, and I want you to teach on leadership development. All right, God. So we did that. I'm just going to be honest. I was kind of skeptical on the first Saturday. I was saying, you know, I went and bought notebooks, put all this stuff, took all the time, put all the stuff. I had 12 notebooks. I reluctantly took them all over to the church because I thought it's probably going to be me, my wife, and a few of our leaders, and that's going to be it. We had 18 people show up. And every month we've had the same amount, except for this last month we had several that were sick. But these people have gotten connected. You know what God showed me? As you invest in their life, they're getting ready to go out and do the things that I've called this church to do. We can't do this on our own. Pastor Marty can't do this thing on his own. He wasn't equipped to do that. He was equipped to do what he was called to do, which is develop and train and assist. But it takes you guys stop having experiences and begin to have an encounter with God. Here's what an encounter would do, and I'm going to close with this. In the enemy's camp is a world plagued with impossibility, defeat, hopelessness, war, terminal illnesses, discouragement, depression. And we're given a glimpse of the very elements that heaven longs to powerfully overthrow. And it will only come through an encounter with God. What happens in here is important. But the reason this is important is because what happens out there is real important. Amen. If you come in here and all you've had is an experience, you'll never overflow to the people, the ones that are depressed and about to commit suicide, What about the ones that are facing terminal illness? I know there's not anything you could ever say to them that's going to change anything, but you could offer them hope by pointing them to Jesus, who is the healer, who is the one that can come because of the stripes that he bore on his back, is the healer for us. What about the hopelessness in this world? We have the solution for that. We have the answer for that. An experience is not going to cut it. Only an encounter will. I pray tonight that you're having an encounter with God. And it may happen here tonight. It may happen on your way home. It may happen while you're sleeping. It may happen in the middle of the day. Who knows when it's going to happen? At any moment, at any time. And you don't just need one. You need multiple. Multiple encounters with God for that renewing of the mind. See, there's a potential that happens in God's presence. The potential of His presence is whenever He puts you on like a glove. And when He begins to move, you're conformed to His movements. And when He says, I want to go touch this person because they got something going on in their life, you do it. That's the potential of God's presence. The potential of His presence is up to the encounter that you're willing to have with Him and saying, I'll do whatever you want to do. I'll go wherever you want to go. That's potential of God's presence. He's willing. He's willing. Are you? I believe you are. Would you stand with me tonight? Father, we thank you for encounters. Encounters. We thank you for the potential of the presence of God flowing through us. I pray over every person in this place tonight, God, for a different encounter than they've ever had before. I know that there's some in this place that might be running. That might be running from the opposite direction. Maybe you've called them in a certain area of their life and they're running away from that. God, I know that you'll find them. Doesn't matter their history with all the other things going on in their life. What matters is you have qualified us. You've called us. And we receive that call tonight. We love you, Father. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your goodness. Before I came tonight, the Lord gave me a couple of words of knowledge, and I want to release those. Is there anybody here that has, you've been in an accident and maybe your neck has been fused or you're having a real stiff neck and you've not been able to move it? And you can't turn your neck at all. You have to turn your body to be able to move around, to look around. Is anybody here experiencing that? It may not be fused, but you've had such stiffness that you have to move around. You can't just turn your neck. Anybody here experiencing that? Anybody here know somebody that's experiencing that? Okay. Let's do it. And that's what God wants to do. Amen. Father, I just thank you that this word goes forth even to those that aren't here tonight. And we, Lord, we know that you gave us this word so that we might pray over it. And so we ask, Father, that you just put your hand upon those and her family, Father, that need this release. That, Lord, their neck has been stiff. It's been bound up. They're having a hard time moving around. I pray even as we're praying right now that it begins to loosen up in Jesus' name. It loosens up right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your healing. In Jesus' name. Sometimes you just got to be bold and go for it. I mean, I've been in services where I was at LaVon's about a year ago. It's one of the ladies in our area. I was going to visit. I was going to a retreat, and I kind of set off in the corner in the back. Didn't want to be messed with. I was there for other reasons, just to hang out and be with God. And all of a sudden, she says, "Hey, Pastor Jason, come up to the front." I'm like, "Okay." So I come up there, and she goes, "The Lord told me you had a word for somebody." Well, that was amazing to me, because the Lord hadn't told me that he had a word from somebody. So I sat up there for a few moments, and all of a sudden, the Lord dropped this name in my spirit. I can't remember the name now, but it was some off-the-wall name. And I said, "Is anybody here named this?" You know, you ever have that situation like God drops his name? I said, "Okay, God, if I say this, what's going to happen next?" God just says, "Just say the name." So I said the name. Nobody responded. "Okay, God, we're here in front of a few hundred people and you're not showing up. This is really cool." But you know what? It's not about us. It's about him. It's about being obedient. That's what happens when you have an encounter. You just have to be obedient to God. So we sat there for a few moments. They went on to do some more other words. And LaVon came back and put the microphone in my face. And she said, "Say it again." So I said, "Is anybody here named this name?" Nobody. So she goes off, does some other things. And she comes back one more time. She sticks the microphone in my face. She says, "Say it one more time." And I said the name one more time. And I said, "Is there not anybody here? It's your first name, your middle name, your last name. Or you even know somebody. I mean, I was straight, your cat's name this or something, you know?" All of a sudden, this guy that's in the middle, he'd been sitting down the whole time. I remember seeing him. He was like sitting down. And he had his head between his legs. And he's just sitting there. I don't know what God was speaking to him, or he was just trying to hide out. But all of a sudden, this guy stands up, and he comes to the front, and he looks at me. He says, "That's my name." And he said it in this broken English. I don't remember what. I think he was from Uganda or Ghana or something like that. And he says, "That's my name, but nobody has called me that name since I was a kid." So I sat up there. I was like, "Okay, God, he's up here. Now what are we going to do?" But you know what? Out of my obedience, all of a sudden, I didn't have the word for him. Somebody else had the word for him. And as he came up, as God brought him to his attention, another man stepped up and says, "I believe the Lord has given me a word for this guy." And began to pour out. And this guy, the word that God gave this guy to give to him, it began to tell a story that nobody knew from his childhood all through the history of some things that had gone on, even to the time that he came to America. And God used this man just to read his mail. So sometimes it's difficult to step out and say, "Okay, God, I'll say what needs to be said." Because it may make you look like a fool. But you know what? If you're praying for somebody to get healed and they don't get healed on the spot, that's not on you. You're not the healer. He is. I mean, I've been a part of a lot of services where we prayed over people and they've gotten out of wheelchairs. I've seen blind eyes open. I've seen limbs grow out. I've seen all kinds of things happen. That church that we got spirit-filled, you know, filled with the Spirit in. I remember one day we were praying. This is right after I started pastoring there. And we went by and I was praying for a lady. And Jody was kind of standing behind her. And I prayed for her and she fell out. And I kind of kept walking down the aisle. And all of a sudden I see Jody over there just doing like this. I said, "Praise God, my wife's dancing." It's kind of like that Moses burning bush experience. She's over there dancing. I was like, "Man, I'm going to check this out." She wasn't dancing. That lady, who was a very sweet lady, precious, beautiful hair, always well-groomed. I mean, I'm talking to the hill. When she fell out, hundreds of little spiders about like that began to come out from her hair. Hundreds. Jody and the other girl that was with her, they were stomping on those spiders. They weren't dancing. Found out that there was demonic things that were going on in the house with her son and her daughter. And it had attached to her. And God was freeing her. We didn't go over there and do this big cast out demons thing and take her to another room and get veins popping out of our neck and screaming to the top of our lungs. Jesus didn't do that. Why do I have to do that? believe it was within the same week, people just started bringing, just, we didn't ask for it, people just started bringing things that they knew God wanted them to get rid of. And we had this, we were out in the country, so we had this big 55-gallon drum, and everybody started putting stuff. And so we met up there on one Saturday, Sunday night, and said, we're just going to pray over this and ask God to, this is a sacrifice, we just want to get rid of it. So I had one of our guys, we went and poured lighter fluid on it, tried to light it up, nothing. So I said, get some gasoline. So we put some gasoline on it, tried to light it up, nothing. I said, did you put gasoline or water? No, man, I put gasoline. We smelt it. It was pure gasoline. I said, put some more. So, I mean, he's sitting there just dumping. I said, well, we better hang on. That's enough. We don't want to eat fireballs or anything. And so we're sitting there. We kept lighting, kept lighting, kept lighting. The only smoke that we were getting was the smoke off of the match. It would trickle up. That's it. So finally, I mean, here we got over 100 people out here in this back on this porch back there. And I said, let's just pray over this. It's not, obviously not going to light, but we've given all this stuff to God. You're not going to get your stuff. It's filled with gasoline now, so you're not wanting it back anyway. So we got in this big circle. I remember we prayed, and we went praying like Christians because we all had our eyes open. And as we were praying, we just kept declaring, God, this is yours. We don't want it anymore. We don't understand why it's not lighting, but we don't want it anymore. Me and Jody and a couple of our leadership, we're all standing there. I'm just looking. And all of a sudden, I saw this little trickle of smoke come out. I was like, well, praise God, it's finally fixing the light. And all of a sudden, this fireball from heaven came and...
Wow.
It didn't burn. There wasn't like a raging fire that went in there. It burned. It was like a ball, and it was just gone. I looked over in the barrel, and there was only just a few ashes left. It was like, I mean, we had the barrel full of stuff. We figured this thing was going to burn for a few hours. There was nothing but just a thin layer of ashes in the bottom of that barrel. I've never experienced anything like that before, and I've never seen anything like it since. But God consumed the things that we didn't want in our life. Huh? The sacrifices. I've seen some weird stuff. But I believe it's because God wanted to show me He's always going to do things out of the ordinary. So there's nothing that's impossible with God in your life. Don't take anything for granted. You could be walking down the street, you could be getting groceries, you could be pumping gas, and all of a sudden the Spirit of God comes and tells you to start praying over somebody. Just be obedient and do it and see what happens when God shows up. Your encounter is going to be somebody else's encounter. Amen. Father, fill them tonight. Fill them. Fill them. Fill them with the power. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Come on, be filled tonight. Be filled. Be filled. Be filled. Be filled. Be filled. In Jesus' name.